Good morning. I suppose everybody can see that Fiona hasn't been married for a very long time, because a few years hence, she will just point to him, "You volunteer for us." Let's just pray together. Father God, what a wonderful God we serve. Lord, as we were worshiping, thank you for each unique voice that you recognize this morning. Thank you, Lord, that in our own human efforts, we can never bring to justice to this holy and wonderful name of our God and Savior. But Lord, you know the intentions of our heart, is to love you and to worship you with everything that is within us. Father, may your name be glorified in and through our worship service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, trust Yanni to ask me to come and preach this morning after that wonderful service last weekend. So I thought I'll do something better. So I'd arranged for us for an exotic picnic somewhere, but unfortunately the rain stopped it, so we're back to basics again, eh? Is there anybody here this morning with a word on their heart? Dale?
Good morning, everybody. I spoke to Johnny earlier in the week, and we agreed that I'd share this just to encourage you, maybe to help you. We often ask, especially young Christians ask, how does God speak to me? How do I hear God speak to me? And we hear people say, an angel appeared to me, and then I feel so unspiritual because an angel has never appeared to me. Or I heard God speak to me in an audible voice, and then I feel even more unspiritual because I've never heard God speak to me in an audible voice. Or some people will say, a light appeared in the corner of my bedroom, and then I feel I'm straight on my way to hell. I'm not going to make it because some... You know, the reality is that 99.9% of all times that God speaks either through His Word or sometimes through a very simple experience. And it's fine. Of course angels appear. Of course lights appear. Of course God speaks in audible voice. Of course God can do what He wants to do. The reality is 99.9% of the time, God speaks to you and me in a very simple way. I want to tell you what happened to me this week, and it was such a blessing. As some of you know, my son lives and works in Taiwan. Now, you've heard in the last 2 weeks of typhoons and floods in the Philippines and all kinds of stuff in the South China Sea. The last time he phoned me at a strange hour of the day, it was to tell me that he had had an accident with his scooter, had broken his collarbone, and needed to have surgery in a foreign country. When my phone rang on Wednesday morning, about 10 to 7, I was busy getting dressed for work, and I looked on my phone, on my display, and I saw Warren, Taiwan. And I must be honest with you, my heart just sank. I thought, oh no, something's happened. When he answered the phone, he said, "Hello, Dad," and I knew he was fine. So he spoke to me, and then he said this. He said, "Dad, today's the 8th of the 8th. I said, "Yeah." So he says, in Chinese, the numeral 8 in Chinese is pa. So the 8th of the 8th is pa pa. And he says, in Taiwan today, it's Father's Day. And I just phoned to say, happy Papa Day, and I love you, and I miss you terribly. Dad, my airtime is klaar, ek moet nou gaan. And when I stood still, God spoke to my heart. It's a very simple thing, but God spoke to my heart. And the Lord said this, when you heard His voice, "Hello, Dad," You knew exactly how he felt. You knew exactly how he was. And God said, when I hear your voice, without you saying a single word, I know how you feel. And then he went on to say, how do you feel? And of course, you know, I don't know who of you have children overseas, but every time something like that happens, I mean, my heart just wants to explode in my chest. I just feel so thankful. I just feel so proud. And yeah, cowboys do cry sometimes, and then the tears just comes. Anyway, and I said, I didn't say, God, I feel this way. I just thought in my heart, I feel like my heart's going to explode in my chest. And then the Lord said this to me, every time you come to me, your Father God, that's how I feel. And as I stood there, it was almost like I felt the blood drain from my face. And I thought, whoa, I've been serving God all my life and I've never thought about it that way. Where God just said to me, every time you approach me, every time you speak to me, every time you come to me, that's how I feel. And as long as I live, I will never ever go to God again without this vision in my mind of how I felt that morning and God saying to me, every time you come to me, that's exactly how I feel. Just think about it. Think about it. And then I ask the question, I ask myself this question. Why do I so easily and often neglect to go to my Father? If that's the way my coming to Him makes Him feel, why do I neglect going to Him?
Absolutely beautiful. Beautiful.
During the week, I got this word, and I'd just like to read it. And I don't know, Johnny didn't say it yet, but to come and stand here to share a word, though God speaks to us all in different ways, it's still a matter of faith if I come and share a word with you. But I trust that God has some intimate word that He would like to share to somebody specific. And I'll read it in the language that I got it, and I'll translate again. Jesaja 66, vers 2. Want my hand het al hierdie dinge gemaak, en so het dit alles ontstaan, spreek die Here. Maar op hierdie een sal ek let, op hom wat arm is en versla is van gees, en wat bewe vir my woord. En ook Jesaja 57, vers 15, want so sê die Hoë en verhewe, wat in die ewigheid woon. Heilig is sy naam. Ek woon in die hoogte en in die heilige plek en by die verbryselde en nederige van gees, om te laat herlewe die gees van die nederiges en te laat herlewe die hart van die verbryseldes. I'll just read in English as well. Isaiah 66 verse 2. Thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool that you will build me. And where is the place of my rest? For all those things my hands has made, and all those things exist, says the Lord. But on this one will I look, on him who is poor and of a contrite spirit, and who trembles at my word. Isaiah 57, verse 15. For thus says the high and lofty one, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones.
This is the last of a three-part series that I've been bringing to you. And now I'm going to do a test, seeing that I'm not the pastor. I cannot be bothered if you're offended or not, but I'm going to do a test. Whom of you who have attended the previous sermons that I preached can tell me What was the topic of this three-part series? Don't disappoint me. Don't tell me I've been preaching in vain. Yes, Dale. Oh, but you're a pastor. You shouldn't have said that. Yeah, it was about relationships. And remember when that American brother spoke here the other day, he said, we can only grow spiritually if we apply revelation practically to our lives. If we only stay hearers of the word, there is no hope of us growing spiritually into the image of Christ. Brothers and sisters, remember that the verses I used was, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and with all your strength. The second command is, love your neighbor as yourself. Think about that. That is the most important commandment that God gave us in the Bible. To love the Lord with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. Now, have you considered, how do I do that? So easy, we talk so easily about that topic. But how do I go about loving God with all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, and all my strength? The previous two sermons, I discussed with you how to love God with all your mind. Then the second one, I spoke about loving your neighbor as yourself, and about Jesus giving us a third command, a new commandment, namely, love one another as I have loved you. Remember now. Now, just to recap, it's most basic to love God with all your mind is to know that God's thoughts towards me are thoughts of love, and to decide that your thoughts will be thoughts of love towards God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Our example was the story of the Good Samaritan. Every one of us, or shall I say, most of us, have a Samaritan or a group of Samaritans in our lives, especially in this country. And my brothers and sisters, we are being kept apart, firstly because of our differences, and secondly because of our fears. And then Jesus gives us the third command. Love one another as I. The Bible says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. Another one, above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Then 1 John 3 verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue or in hugs, that's my addition at the church, but in deed and in truth. And my brothers and sisters, this leads me to say, every born-again Christian, you have no excuse. I know in this fellowship there are issues among brothers and sisters. I've heard the excuse, I'll forgive him, but I want to have nothing to do with him. The fruit, one of the fruits of repentance is fellowship. If I'm not prepared to fellowship with that brother, then I have not forgiven. We have no excuse. You have to forgive your brother or your sister 70 times 7 each day. My brothers and sisters, if there are any among you who have done nothing about this issue, I can assure you, you will not develop or grow spiritually. You'll be stunted in your growth. To love God with all your heart, the soul, mind is the basic of your Christian walk. Of course, we only think about salvation, and then we quote the scripture, but we never really get down to it. How do I love God with all my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength? And my brothers and sisters, I'm going to give you a few practical issues. Most of them I've experienced in my own life. I'm not saying this is the Alpha and Omega. You might have many more revelations about that. But try and apply this to your life, and you will experience your growth in relationship with your God and with your fellow man. Now, here's a very practical place to get started in this adventure of loving God with all your heart. Remember, we've done loving God with all your mind. That's loving God with all your heart. Talk to God in a loud voice. Study the Psalms. God called David a man after his own heart. David's prayers in the Psalms contain a gold mine of wisdom about loving God with all your heart. As you read the book of Psalms, it is clear that David's prayers had more emotion than most of our prayers do. In fact, you will find that more emotion in one sentence of David's prayers than in an entire year of many Christians' daily devotions. Most of our prayers are silent. There's nothing wrong with that. But we speak them in our minds. However, it can easily lead to prayers that are more about our own thoughts than our hearts. And to really put your heart into something, you need to say it out loud. I'm not saying loud. I'm just saying aloud. Try talking to God at the same volume as you would to your friend while driving in the car, having a conversation with him. As you talk to him, tell him your feelings. I was thinking about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He took his disciples with him, but they all fell asleep. They went and prayed alone. Surely someone must have heard this prayer to have been able to record in the Bible. Surely Jesus didn't go back to them and say, "Hey boys, I just want to tell you, write this down, because when I'm gone, you must record this in the Bible." Somebody must have heard this prayer. Jesus was talking out loud with emotion to his Father, so much so that his sweat drops turned into drops of blood. Can you imagine what emotion went into that prayer? If I listen to our prayers, it's more like reciting a poem to the Lord. We lack that emotion in our prayers. When faced with a huge problem, David began to pour out his heart. He talks with emotion about his problem. And before he comes to the end of the psalm, his heart is at peace. The problem is still there, but David's heart has been refocused in the course of the 20 or 30 verses of this psalm. David's heart is settled in 20 to 30 verses. Yet some of us live with unsettled hearts for months or even for 20 and 30 years. My brothers and sisters, without oversimplifying the depth of hurt that our hearts can experience, I have no doubt that one of the reasons for this lack of peace in our hearts is that we never share our emotions with God. We pray logically. We pray consistently. We even pray biblically. But we don't follow David's example of praying emotionally. Now, I'm not saying that we have to manipulate our Father with tears as naughty, manipulative kids do with their earthly parents. But how do we pray more emotionally? Talk to God about your feelings. Giving you an example. Psalm 6 verse 6. I'm worn out from groaning. All night long I flood my bed with weeping and drench my couch with tears. That's how we pray. But you think David prayed like that? My goodness. I think he says, Lord, I'm worn out from groaning. All night long I flood my bed with tears, with weeping, and drench my couch with tears. When are you going to hear me? Psalm 42, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. Talk to God about your weakness. Psalm 25 verse 16, turn to me, Lord, and be merciful to me, because I'm lonely and weak. Tell him about your fears. Psalm 55 verse 5, fear and trembling overwhelm me. I can't stop shaking. Look at this, Lord. I can't stop shaking. Talk to God about his strength. Psalm 24 verse 8, who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Psalm 18 verse 1 and 2. Say out loud what you know to be true. David sang this song the day the Lord rescued him from all his enemies and from King Saul. I love you, Lord. You are my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my savior. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He's my shield, the strength of my salvation, my stronghold. Hallelujah. Love God with all your heart. Let's do a little practical exercise. I want you to stand. I want you to say out loud what you know is true. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is my rock, my salvation. Say it out loud and experience what it is to love the Lord with your whole heart. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, you are the King of Kings, the Almighty God, the Creator of this universe. Lord, thank you that you first loved me. Lord, thank you for who you are. You are the God above all gods, the Almighty One. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, we love you with all that is within us. Thank you, Lord, for all your salvation. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you for holding this whole world in the palm of your hands, Lord. Thank you. We love you with all that is within us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? All will see how great. How great is our God, how great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. All will see how great is our God. Hallelujah. Let me see this. Brothers and sisters, go and practice this at home. Talk out loud to him. Pour your heart. That's loving God with all your heart. Now the next one is love God with all your soul. If I ask you, where is your heart? You point here. Where is your mind? That's easy. Where is your soul? We don't even know where to point. What is your soul? The Old Testament uses the Hebrew word nefesh, which means to breathe. Behind this word is the idea that God breathes life into us. You're a living soul. You have an awareness held by nothing else in creation because God Himself breathed life into you. The New Testament uses the Greek word psyche, which is the root word for our psychology. It has to do with your will, your drive, the passion of your life, the power by which you live. Put this Old Testament and New Testament words together, and you get a fairly good idea of what the soul is. The soul is your desires and your passions. Your soul is your God-given personality. It is your will to decide. It has to do with the direction that your life is taking. The essence of your soul is your life. Life in capital letters. My brothers and sisters, because we are talking about the kind of life that only God can give, creator life, Zoe life. A relationally healthy soul will passionately seek to express love for God. If you've got this relationship with God, a healthy relationship, a loving, intimate, loving relationship with the bridegroom of the church, Jesus Christ, you will seek to express your love for God. And Jesus told many stories about this kind of passion, this kind of thirst in our lives. Do we really have this thirst for God every day? Many of these stories about the passion with which we seek God in His kingdom had to do with something to find something that we had lost. You know the scripture, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. Jesus told of a woman who had lost a silver coin. And she searched with all the passion she had to find it. He told of a shepherd who left the 99 sheep to go and look for this one that was lost with all the passion and power and energy that was in him. Jesus told of the father who had lost a son and passionately celebrated when the prodigal returned. You've had the experience of losing something that was important to you. Maybe it was your car keys, some money, or a report due for the next day at work, or mostly in my wife's case, it's a cell phone. You turned the house upside down to find it. I must find it. I won't stop until I have found it. That's passion. That's the way to seek God. Seek Him passionately with all your soul. Passion. The English dictionary says, it is when you desire something so much that you are prepared to suffer to obtain that which you desire. Do we really have that passion for God? That I will give up everything to connect with Him, to find Him. To love God with all your soul. Love Him personally. My brothers and sisters, you, every one of you, are like nothing else and no one else. Every one of you is a single individual. And as Dale has testified, he recognizes everyone's voice. You're the only one in all of creation who can love the Lord only the way you do. Nobody else can love the Lord the way I do. And I cannot love the Lord the way you do. You are the only you in all of creation. When you love the Lord, you love Him with a unique voice. A voice different in tone, different in soul from any other voice God hears in all of creation. Now I think of the scripture that Bessel just read. You know, heaven is His throne and earth is His footstool. While we were worshiping, I was thinking of this again. You know, when Paul and Silas was in prison and they decided to start singing. And a preacher once said, he says, God was sitting on His balcony, on His throne in heaven. And there was music all around. All of a sudden, He said to the archangel, Gabriel, I hear someone singing. And the archangel said, Lord, but the whole heaven is full of music. He says, no, but I hear someone singing. And God started tapping His foot in tune with this music. And because the earth is His footstool, the earth starts shaking, and the earthquake happened, and the doors flew open, and all the shackles fell off Paul and Silas. Now, isn't it wonderful that God hears every one of us and knows exactly who is praising and worshiping Him or pouring out His heart to Him? My brothers and sisters, love God uniquely with the personality He has fashioned into your life. If you really love Him with your God-given personality, the way you express your love will be a bit different from everybody else. Not strange, just different. And it's going to be wonderfully different. Can I just deviate here? How tolerant are you to other people's unique, those strange forms of worship? Hoe verdraagsaam is u teenoor ander mense wat nie aanbid soos jy nie? Hoe verdraagsaam is u teenoor mense wat kort oor hamshoring gryp en blaas? Of begin dans hierso. Of wens jy, ach Heere, was ek liefst nie hier gewees nie. Wat soek ek hier? What am I doing here? I wish I'd been somewhere else instead of having to listen to this. No, my brothers and sisters. Every one of us is unique before God. And I cannot express myself like you express yourself to God. Let us make room for one another, so that we can give ourselves over in worship and praise to our God as He has created me to do that. To love God with all your soul. Decide to do what He wants. Decide to do what He wants you to do. One moment in history stands out above all other times. An example of loving God with all one's soul. It took place the night before Jesus died as He talked to His Father in the Garden of Gethsemane. Knowing that the next day He would have to face the physical, emotional, and spiritual torture of the cross, Jesus prayed, not my will, but yours be done. My brothers and sisters, Jesus set aside anything He might have desired and determined to do only what the Father told Him to do. How do you set your soul to make such a radical decision? Again, Jesus shows the way. You set the direction of your soul by talking to God. If you've been a believer for any length of time, you will have discovered that it can easily become your habit to try to love God with part, but not all, of your soul. You pray, your will be done, Lord, not my will. In your church life, but not in my business life, or in my family life, or in my personal thought life. There I want to do it my way. Then in future, rather pray, God, I want your will, but I also want my way. I know it is wrong, but that's exactly how I feel. So please work in my heart to get me to the place where I can pray, not my will, but your will be done. I want to learn to love you with all my soul. Brothers and sisters, then we come to the last one. Love God with all your strength. To love God with all your strength, that is where you need faith. Without faith, you will not be able to love God with all your strength. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, then tie it all together by loving Him with all your strength. Your strength is where your inner thoughts and feelings touch the outer world. It's where you actually do something about your thoughts and feelings. This is love in action, is loving God with all your strength. There are so many needs in this world. So many needs in our community. So many needs here among us. That is a way we can love God with all our strength. If we are the answer to someone's prayer or to the need among us. You want to love the Lord, but sometimes it doesn't play out itself in just the way you'd like to. How do you translate the desire to love God into your everyday life? Now here's where faith comes in. Listen carefully. To love God with all your strength, there are three truths that you must embrace. Firstly, you must have complete confidence that God can do absolutely anything. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. John 14, verse 12. Secondly, you must be completely convinced that you can do absolutely nothing of ultimate or eternal significance without the power of Jesus Christ. John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Third one, you must trust God to turn your weaknesses into His strength. As Paul faced the fact of his weakness, he heard God say to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And so Paul responded, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me, for when I'm weak, I am strong. My brothers and sisters, you must trust God to turn your weakness into His strength. When you see a cripple or a sick person, no, I cannot do it. I cannot pray. Say nothing happens. I cannot do it. You must have the faith to trust God. You cannot do it, but God can do it through you. Lord, I cannot give my last 100 rand to this sister. This is all I've got for the rest of the month. Trust God. If He has spoken to you, give. He is going to show Himself mightily to you in the days that lie ahead. We need that faith to be able to trust God with all our strength. My brothers and sisters, I'm learning to make the choice to accept my feelings of inadequacy as a weakness and to lean on God's strength. We need to ask God to help us make choices of faith in spite of the feelings of inadequacy. My brothers and sisters, to love God with all your strength is where the tire hits the tarmac. That is practical Christianity, not just theory and pie in the sky. To love God with all your strength is practical Christianity. None of this is possible unless you have a personal, intimate relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You cannot be religious and love God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. It's only if you have this intimate relationship with Him. My brothers and sisters, if there's anybody here, if we talk about intimacy with God, we can have seminars and teachings for weeks on end about intimacy with God. But unless you receive a revelation, as Dale did, and I told you about the revelation I had when my son phoned me in the Ukraine. Unless you have such a revelation, all the teachings will remain knowledge. And you will not progress in your relationship with God. So if there's anybody here this morning who still hasn't got that or sure about his intimate relationship with God, please stay behind and I will pray with you. My brothers and sisters, I personally, for many, many years, I served God with all my heart. And I tried to love Him as best as I could. But nobody ever told me that I could have this intimate, loving relationship with Him. Until that day that I received that phone call in Kiev from my son. And from that day on, I started practicing the presence of God in my life. Practicing to be constantly conscious of Christ in me. Not conscious of Christ on a Sunday morning when the band starts playing. Or when we have a prayer meeting. But to be conscious of Christ in me 24 hours a day. 60 minutes of every hour. Because it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ who lives in me. My brothers and sisters, Colossians 1:27 became my favorite scripture. Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is this glory that he's talking about? It is the character and the personality and the nature of God that becomes evident or visible in the life of a believer. You cannot learn to know God intimately by just attending Sunday morning services. You've got to be constantly conscious of Christ in you. I've used the example. Delisa and I have been married now for 51 years. I will recognize her footsteps in the middle of the night. Her voice I will recognize among a million other voices. She's got a peculiar laughter that I'll recognize among a billion other laughters. How can I do that? Because I live intimately with her. Intimately with her. Because I love her so much. I try and spend most of my time in her presence. You cannot learn to love somebody and to know somebody intimately by living outside his or her presence. That's why I repeat, you cannot learn to love Jesus and know him personally by just attending Sunday morning services. My brothers and sisters, start practicing the presence of Christ in your life, and you will see how your life is revolutionized. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you this morning. Say, Lord, so often we have quoted the scripture to love the Lord your God, all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength, which is top priority for us. And yet, we never knew, we had no clue of how to apply it practically. Lord, help us that we will not just remain hearers of your word, but that we will become doers of your word. Lord, that we will love one another as you have loved us. Lord, that because of the love for one another, the people outside will see, experience that God is in our midst. It's not by how much we've achieved, Lord, how beautiful our premises are, or how much tithes we receive, or the crowds that come here, but by the love among us, the world will see and have to admit that God is in our midst. Lord, now I pray for my dear brothers and sisters. For so long, Lord, I served you with all my energy, yet nobody ever told me I could have an intimate, loving relationship with the bridegroom of the church, our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for a revelation for each one of these dear people. A revelation of what you desire of them. Lord, so that we can grow in our relationship with you. May your name be glorified. We bless you. Lord, we love you. But we don't want just to love you with words, but indeed, in Jesus' name.